June just called me by my real name instead of calling me Fred as I walked by, so. All right, Galen did a wonderful job of singing what was up there. I'm not quite as good as taking things in stride, so I've got my notes here. All right, the title of my lesson tonight is The Called, the Beloved, and the Kept. And I'm going to be spending most of the time in the book of Jude, if you want to go ahead and be turning there. But before we get into the book of Jude, I want to share a story with you. A story about Boris and Anna. Boris and Anna were two young adults who lived in Russia in the late 1930s. They met in 1939. Boris saw Anna in a group of her friends, and Boris only had eyes for her. It was sort of love at first sight. And when Boris had the courage to walk up to Anna and introduce himself, he realized by her last name right away that her dad was the one that had been arrested for speaking out against the Communist Party. But Boris still took time to get to know Anna, and after a while, he didn't care about her family's dubious past, and he made a pledge to protect her no matter what. Unfortunately for Boris and Anna, Hitler and Germany decided to invade Russia, so Boris was sent to the front to fight. There were some lulls in the fighting, and Boris took the opportunity to return home to visit with Anna, and Anna was always there waiting for him. It was on one of his return visits that Boris decided to propose to Anna, and she said, "Yes, I will marry you." But a few days after that, he had to return to the front. Soon after that, the state decided that Anna and the rest of her family were also dangerous. So Anna and her mother were declared enemies of the state and were exiled to Siberia. The next time Boris returned home, he could find no one who knew what had happened to Anna or her mother. And so he was hopelessly separated from the love of his life. Now in their new village, Anna's mother decided that Anna needed to move on. And so she needed to find a new man and get married. And her mom kept telling Anna, "Boris has surely given up on you by now. He's surely married somebody else." But Anna did not want to give up on her true love. One day when Anna got back from working a hard day's work at the timber mill, she discovered that her mom had burned all the love letters that Boris had ever written to her and all the pictures of Boris. And Anna was just devastated. Her mom was trying to destroy all memories of Boris to get her to move on. And Anna later recalled, "My mother told me another man was coming to the house to meet me and that I should go out with him. She said that if I was lucky, he would marry me, and I just burst into tears and rushed into the yard. The world turned black for me. I wanted to die. My mother came after me and slapped me in the face. She told me not to be so stupid. She persuaded me to go out with the man, and after a while, both he and my mother tried to convince me that the best decision for my future was to marry him." So here's Anna, totally devastated, totally torn, wanting to wait for her true love to return to her, but other people trying to convince her to give up on that love. Now fast forward 60 years into the future, and now Anna is an elderly woman. She's walking home from the market one day, and she notices an elderly man struggling to get out of a car. And as soon as she sees this man, her jaw just drops, because she knows right then that it is Boris, the man that she had committed her life to 60 years ago and hadn't seen since. And so she ran to Boris and said, "My darling, I've been waiting for you so long. You are the love of my life." Now, while this may sound like a Hollywood movie, this actually is a true story. Boris and Anna are real. And when I look at the book of Jude, to me it sort of reads like the story of Anna. Here are people that are waiting for their true love to return, waiting for Jesus to return for them, and yet there's these new people that are stepping in and saying, "You need to give up on Jesus. You need to give up on that love. We've got new ideas for you. So it's time for you to go in a different direction." For if you look in Jude verse 3, Jude writes, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." So here's Jude wishing that he could write to these people about the joy that they all have in their common salvation, but instead he's having to write to them about the false teachers that have crept in to their church. Now, even though Jude does not specifically talk about our relationship with Jesus being like that of a bride with a groom, like Paul does in Ephesians, to me, this book reads like that. And in the very beginning of this letter, Jude uses some very strong words to describe his readers. Now, if you're like me, I admit that whenever I'm reading the epistles, I have the tendency to read or speed through the introduction and the greeting of whoever's writing the letter, wanting to get to the meat of the letter. But in the very first verse of this book, I think that Jude says a whole lot about the people that he's writing to. Verse 1 says, "Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ." So to me, that reads, when I read that, it sounds to me sort of like a woman who has pledged her life to a man, and that man is left, and she knows that he is going to return to her. She has been called by that man. She knows that she is beloved by that man, and she is being kept for the day that he returns. Now, when you look at the Greek words that Jude uses for beloved and kept, the tense that he uses there, those words could actually be interpreted as having been loved and having been kept. So in other words, the people that Jude is writing to are those people that have patiently waited through the trials that they've already faced. They are having been loved and having been kept. So they've endured through the trials and are still there present listening to what Jude has to say to them. And so with these very words, Jude is encouraging them and commending them for where they're at and what they've made it through. So let's look closer at these words Jude uses to describe his readers. To me, the word called sort of sounds like those people that saw Uncle Sam on the poster saying, "I want you," and they stepped up and volunteered. These readers of Jude are a few good men. And there is nothing passive in this phrase, the called. Jude's readers were summoned by God to be his people, and they have responded to that summons and continue to respond to it. Much like the woman who says to the man, "Yes, I will," when he asks if she will marry him. And then again, when he says, "I have to leave you, but I will return," and she says, "I will wait for you." Now, the second word that Jude uses to describe his readers is the word beloved. This is the same word that is used for that God uses for Jesus in Matthew 3:17. In the book of Matthew, chapter 3, Jesus has just been baptized. He's rising up out of the water, and a dove comes down on him. And the voice of God from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So God right there is saying Jesus is his beloved Son. And now Jude is saying that we are also God's beloved. So if you call someone your beloved, then you are saying they are the one you adore, the one you hold in high esteem, and the person who is your favorite. So it's describing that bond, that love between us and God that creates a bond so strong that it cannot be broken by anything as long as we remain faithful to it. And then the third description Jude uses for his readers is the word kept. Now, when you look back at Paul's epistles, the letters that he wrote, For example, in the book of Romans, in Paul's greeting to the Romans, he refers to them as the called and the beloved, but he does not use this word kept. So to me, this is a very special word that Jude is using for his readers in this time, that they are the kept. Now just imagine if you were one of these readers of Jude's letter. You're perhaps a second-generation Christian. You have read what the apostles have written about Jesus. They are the pillars of the faith. You have heard your parents talking about the apostles. But now you're hearing that they're being killed. And the apostles are not going to be around anymore to help guide this fledgling faith that you have committed your life to. And now you've got this new group of people rising up, and they're coming in and saying to your congregation, you know, the apostles, they didn't know the whole truth. We've got more truth to tell you. Or perhaps they're being so daring as to say, you know what, those apostles, they didn't really understand the truth that Jesus was speaking. But we, through dreams, now understand it, and you need to listen to us. And you're actually seeing some of your fellow Christians fall away and follow after these false teachers. And added to that, you had heard the apostles say that Jesus is returning soon. You had heard those words, but he hasn't returned yet, and maybe you're starting to wonder to yourself, well, maybe Jesus had a different interpretation of what soon means than what I thought. Maybe he's not going to come as soon as I thought. So you, as one of the readers of Jude's letter, you need encouragement to hold strong. As I said, these very first words that Jude is using, he is encouraging you and commending you, and by telling you that you are the kept, he is saying that God has kept you and preserved you through these hard times. And more than that, he is saying that you are being kept for his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just like a bride being kept pure and faithful, waiting for her groom to return to her. Now this phrase, kept for Jesus Christ, is tied to verse 21 of Jude. If you look down in verse 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And then it's also related to verse 24 that says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. So on the one hand, Jude is saying, keep yourselves in the love of God. And then in verse 24, he's saying, God is able to keep you from stumbling and make you able to stand in his presence, blameless. So, again, there is nothing passive in this word kept. On the one hand, Jude is telling us that we've been called, that we are loved, but we have to respond, and we have to keep ourselves in that love of God and keep ourselves focused on it and devoted to it. And then on the other hand, Jude is indicating in verse 24 that the love and grace that God has for us is unfailing. God's love will not leave us. So Jude is telling his readers, God the Father has called us, he has loved us, and he has kept us so that we can be with his Son. And the Son, Jesus Christ, loves us and wants us to be his own. So we are to anxiously await for the return of the Savior and not give up on the love that keeps us strong. But now for the rest of the story. And the real story of Boris and Anna. Anna did not wait for Boris those 60 years. She actually did marry that man that her mom wanted her to marry. And Boris did marry somebody else. But unlike us, they didn't know if they would ever see each other again. We know that we're going to see Jesus Christ again. He has told us and we can believe it. Now for Boris and Anna, it just so happened when they met 60 years later, both of their spouses had passed away. So they were able to get married and spend a few years of their remaining days together. But we know that Jesus is coming back for us, and we know that we are going to get to spend eternity with him. So, we know that ever since the first century, when Jude wrote this letter, there have been false teachers within the church and without the church. From the atheists and the agnostics who tell us that the things that are in this book are rubbish, and they tell us that we don't need to follow the rules or believe in a higher power, that we need to have faith in our own intellect. To all of the man-made creeds and doctrines and dogmas that have come along over the years, our faith is continuously challenged, just like Jude readers' faith was being challenged. But we know, just as Jude writes, we are to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Once for all handed down. We know that the faith that the apostles had is the same faith that we have. And the truth is in this book. It's always been in this book and will always be in this book. And it is our duty to contend earnestly for that faith. So no matter what we face this week, we can take comfort in the fact that we know that we are the called, we are the beloved, and we are being kept for Jesus Christ for the day that he returns. So if any of you feel like you don't have that strong relationship with Jesus that you need, if you've never responded to that calling and you need the help of this body, we ask that you please come forward as we stand and sing.